Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 5. This morning we're going to look at the praying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Prayer is a great weapon, and we as a church have been assaulted by the devil in many ways, and we need to understand that. It makes me rejoice in one sense of the word, and it's difficult for you, dear people, because here we are, a small, insignificant group, and yet the devil's disturbed enough to assault us. And that means that something is being done. And only the Lord knows what it is, and so we just praise Him for it. Hebrews chapter 5, beginning with verse 1 down through verse 10. For every high priest taken from among men is ordained for men in things pertaining to God, that he may offer both gifts and sacrifices for sins, who can have compassion on the ignorant and on them that are out of the way. For he himself also is compassed with infirmity. And by reason hereof he ought, as for the people, so also for himself, to offer for sins. And no man taketh his honor unto himself, but he that is called of God, as was Aaron. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he said also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard, in that he feared. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation unto all them that obey him, called of God, and high priest after the order of Melchizedek. Shall we pray? Our Lord, this morning, give listening ears, attentive minds, and open word with assurance and clarity and understanding, that everyone in this room might be blessed by thee at this hour. Lord, forgive us where we have already failed thee, and we ask again, continue to sanctify this service, make it acceptable unto thee, and now work out thy purpose here in each heart and life that's represented in this room. We pray again, Lord, for those that ought to be here. Thou dost know where they are, what they're doing, and what their destiny is. And we lift them to thee and ask thee, our God, work thy perfect will in these hearts and lives as only thou canst do. Bring about an awakening across our nation. And, O Lord, give those that have been elected, as such as our governor and the others, give them the wisdom and the ability and the understanding and the responsibility, and help them to understand, Lord, that they are there, put there by Thee for the purpose of governing our country and our state in the right manner. But, O our Lord, we pray, lay hold of these preachers that have lied this week again and have shown themselves to be deceptive, and we pray, our God, rebuke every one of them that did not do what they were supposed to do. But our God, help us individually and collectively. Now bless this church. Continue to work in it as only thou art able, and magnify thyself in this service this morning. We pray, Lord Jesus, for thy sake. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Today we're going to look at the praying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now look with me, if you will. We find this is God speaking of the Lord Jesus in verse 5 down through verse 7. Look at what it says. So also Christ glorified not himself to be made an high priest, but he that said unto him, Thou art my son, today have I begotten thee. As he saith also in another place, Thou art a priest forever after the order of Melchizedek, who in the days of his flesh, when he had offered up prayers and supplications with strong crying and tears unto him that was able to save him from death, and was heard in that he feared. Now some of you here, down through the last several weeks, you've been bringing tears and strong crying unto the Lord God of heaven. Well, I want to share with you this morning very clearly that God knows all about it. And you need to recognize that He's on the throne. And the problem that we have whenever we face calamities and everything is this. We say that we are giving them to the Lord God of heaven, but we turn right around and pick them up again. Now, if there's one thing we need to understand, and that is this. You and I can't solve these problems, but God can. And so we have to cry unto Him, and you have to recognize very clearly, the Lord Jesus was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Now, look at the Lord, if you will, for a moment. What did He do? Number one, He offered up prayers. Number two, He offered up supplications. Number three, He offered them up with strong crying. Now hold your seat and pay close attention. Here's a mystery right here that we need to look at. The Lord Jesus Christ made this world. The Lord Jesus Christ upholds everything in this world. The Lord Jesus Christ is in control of everything in this world. And yet, we find very clearly, when He was here on this earth, what did He do? He prayed. He cried unto the Lord God of heaven with strong supplication. In other words, He prayed as though His heart was broken. And His heart was breaking. And then we find also, He offered up what? Strong cry. Well, I want to say to you very kindly, when you cry unto the Lord God of heaven, you cry according to God's will and you pray according to God's will, put it down, God's going to hear that prayer. He's going to answer it, not in your time, He's going to answer it in His time. And that's what this is all about. And so this morning, for a few moments, I want to share with you the praying of the Lord Jesus Christ. Our Lord set forth very clearly that He had emotions just like we do. A lot of people today don't seem to understand that God has emotion. Well, God does have emotion. But the Lord God of heaven never sinned on the face of this earth, and don't ever get away from it. He was born without sin. He did no sin. He lived without sin. And listen to me now, He died as a sinner. Now how come? Because God transferred or imputed your sin and mine to the Lord Jesus Christ. And I want to tell you very kindly, sin has got to be paid for. Always keep that in mind. The sinner is forgiven, but the sin has got to be paid for. And we need to understand that. And so for you to go to heaven, it means this. Your sin has got to be paid for by the Lord Jesus Christ, or else you will pay for it through the countless ages of eternity as you suffer the torments of the damned in hell. And it doesn't make any difference who the individual is, how beautiful they may be, how handsome they may be, how wonderful they may be, how educated they may be, how moral they may be. Every individual without the Lord Jesus Christ is under the death sentence of God, because the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And the only hope we have, and the great hope we have, as well as the only hope for this world, is that the Lord Jesus Christ paid for our sin. And so we need to rest at His feet and trust Him as our Lord and our Savior. Alright, now look at Hebrews chapter 5, if you will. Look again, verse 7. Who in the days of His flesh, when He had offered up prayers and supplication with strong crying and tears unto Him that was able to save Him from death, and was heard in that He feared. Now let's look at this for just a moment. Now what in the world did the Lord Jesus undergo? Well, we find the various emotions that are set forth here are set forth very clearly that the Lord Jesus suffered. Now preacher, what in the world are you talking about? Well, He suffered. Now what in the world do you mean? We find very clearly what kind of suffering did the Lord Jesus have. Well, I'll tell you, He had three kinds. He had a physical suffering, He had a mental suffering, and He had a spiritual suffering. Now by physical suffering, what in the world are you talking about? Take your Bibles and turn to 1 Peter chapter 2 and look at me at verse 21 down through verse 24. And we find here the physical suffering of our Lord Jesus as we look at it for just a moment or two. In 1 Peter chapter 2 and beginning with verse 21, for even hereunto ye were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in His steps. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in Him. When He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously, who His own self bare our sins in His own body on the tree, that we, being dead to sins, should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes ye were healed. Now let's look at the stripes for just a moment. This healing, a lot of people emphasize, is physical healing. No, it's more spiritual healing than anything else. Because I'm going to tell you right now, you can be healed physically and still die and go to hell. Did you know that? But if you're healed spiritually and never healed physically, you'll die, but when you die, you'll go to heaven. And which is the most important? Not the physical healing. Every one of us here will suffer illness and everything like that. Every one of us here today in this room, we're not all in the best shape that we can be in. Some of you are like me. I had four bypasses, as you know. Some of you have had the same thing. Others of you have had illnesses and operations and so on and so forth. Well, now, why do we have all them? It's because sin is in the Word. And when Adam sinned, death came upon this world, and that's the reason of it. And also, we find very clearly, you and I are creatures of sin, and when God shows us these things, we find very clearly, this is what's set forth, that we are to do what? We are to look to Him and rely on Him for everything. Now, the suffering of the Lord Jesus, I set forth in His stripe. Peter brings it out in this way. The stripes refer, or as a reference, I should say, to the scourging whereby the individual is stripped to the waist and then bent in a semi-stooping position. And as they are bent in that position and they are held in that position by being tied that way, the individual with the whip would take this whip and he would have on it pieces of bone or pieces of steel or else pieces of stone, and he would swing that whip across that back. And every time he would do it, he'd also drag it to the ground so that it would pick up the dirt. And we find very clearly, as that whip would go across that back, those pieces of bone and steel and whatever it was they had, they would tear the flesh complete. And they'd mix the dirt with it. And then this is what would happen. In the manner that the whip was applied, it would lay bare the vein. It would also lay bare the inner muscles. They would be exposed. And sometimes even the bowels were laid open. And Peter saw the back of the Lord Jesus Christ as one great gaping wound. Now my Lord had physical suffering there. Not all the blood that was shed on Calvary's cross. Some of it was shed in the garden. Some of it was shed in the scourging. But it was also shed on Calvary's cross for you and me. And we need to understand that very clearly. Now this was the physical suffering that the Lord Jesus went through. You and I have never been scourged. You and I may have broken a bone, or maybe we have been shot, as it were, by a wound, and had a wound by the gun, as it were, or some other way, but I'll tell you right now, we've never had the scourging that the Lord Jesus had, and we do not find that He uttered one word. Now, I'll go out on a limb, so to speak. He did not utter a word, even when He was whipped. Well, how do you know, preacher? Well, I believe I can show it to you. So turn to Isaiah chapter 53 and look at what it says. Isaiah chapter 53. And look carefully in this portion of the Word of God. In Isaiah chapter 53, verse 7, and we read these words. He was oppressed and he was afflicted, yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he openeth not his mouth. In other words, he didn't utter a word. And I remember the day that we visited the packing plant in Chicago, and they had some sheep on the conveyors, and the man was standing there hip deep in blood, and we find very clearly he had these hip boots on, and the blood was flowing all around him, and he would take a knife, and he would slit the throat of that lamb, and that lamb would never utter a word. But oh, when he picked up the pigs, what a difference. You never heard such squealing and squalling in your life as when those pigs were picked up by their hind feet and hooked to that conveyor. And as they were going along, they came and that man would cut their throat and they would squeal and carry on until they died. But the lambs never uttered a word. The Lord Jesus Christ went through such several physical suffering and he never uttered a word. The reason? He's the Lamb of God. And like a lamb taken to the slaughter, so he openeth not his mouth. Now, this is some of the physical suffering. But then we'll go a little bit further. He also had the mental suffering. Go back again to 1 Peter chapter 2 and listen again to what the Word of God said. In 1 Peter chapter 2, you have some of the mental suffering that the Lord Jesus had. And this is what it is. For verse 21 through 23, for even hereunto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow in his steps, who did no sin, neither was guile or falsehood found in his mouth, who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Here's your mental suffering. What are you talking about? Well, I've been in counseling with a number of people down through the years. I don't get too much counseling because most of the time I don't tell them what they like to hear. I always tell them, first of all, they got to turn to the Lord God of heaven. And most of them that want counseling don't want that. But we find the Lord Jesus Christ had a mental suffering. Now, mental suffering would become upon when a woman is told by her husband, I don't love you. I want a divorce. Or a man is told by his wife, I don't love you. I want you out of my family. I don't want you to be around with you. I don't love you anymore. That is mental suffering. But the Lord Jesus Christ was reviled. In other words, that word revile means to rebuke an individual scornfully, sharply biting that person with scorn and sarcasm, as well as stamping him with insolent, scornful, and arrogant language. And I've told you this before, but I had some mental suffering when I visited a man in a hospital a number of years ago. When I came in, I asked him how he was doing. He said, fine. And then he looked at me and said, Mr. Nortier, I want to tell you something. I said, go right ahead. He said, I think you're a good man. But I can't stand your preaching. Well, now, you know, that's a shock. And I kind of gulped a little bit, you know, and I said, oh? I said, you mean it's that bad? He said, yes, it is. I said, well, what's so bad about it? Well, at this time, I wondered, what in the world have I done? And this is what he said. He said, what's so bad about it? He says, it tears me up on the inside, and I don't like to hear what you're saying. Well, you know what I told him? I said, praise the Lord. I said, you haven't bothered me. I said, you've given me a great compliment. If my preaching will tear up an individual on the inside, I'll tell you right now, I rejoice because it means that God's anointing it, and that individual needs to hear that kind of preaching. And a lot of people don't like to hear it. But the Lord Jesus was reviled. He was reviled. I know it hurts you just like it hurts me. If somebody says something against you and it's a falsehood, all right, it bothers you. And it bothers you more if they say it against your children. You and I love our children and we want them to be the best. And yet we have to understand one thing, that our children are nothing but sinners. We produce light. A sinner produces nothing but a sinner. And there isn't any one of us that have children that are perfect, and we need to understand that. And yet at the same time, we need to recognize that even when our kids do wrong, we still love them, don't we? We still pray for them, and we pray for them more than ever. And we encourage them and try to get them on the right track and keep them there. And this is why when I come to talk to young people, and I do, we find very clearly, I always tell them point blank, I said, wherever you go, I said, you take the Lord with you, and if you can't take the Lord with you, then you've got no business being in that place where you're going. And that's right. And I don't believe that the Lord God of heaven is happy when individuals are smoking pot. I don't believe they're happy with him. They're happy that the Lord is happy if an individual is a cheat and a liar and a stealer and perhaps a fornicator. And that's going on across America today like nothing before because there doesn't seem to be any shame any longer. Well, beloved, God still says that righteousness exalted the nation and sin is a reproach to any people. And America right today is under the reproach of God and we need to understand that. And we find out it's also because of the fact that God's people are not living the way they should. And the Lord Jesus right here, we find, he was reviled. But then there's another word for mental suffering, and that is rage. Go back to Luke chapter 23, if you will, and let me show you a man who was to die in a few hours, and we find that unless God brought him repentance, he died and went to hell. In Luke chapter 23, we find this man and two thieves on the cross, beginning with verse 39, we find the word of God says these things. And one of the malefactors which were hanged railed on him, saying, if thou be Christ, save thyself and us. Now that word railing also is a part of mental suffering. Now preacher, what were you talking about? Well, when somebody rails on them, they speak reproachfully to that individual. If somebody were to rail on you today, they would probably walk out of here. You might walk out of here and somebody would come up and say, well, you're good for nothing, old dirty hypocrite. I see you went to church and you're nothing but a pious, good for nothing sinner. And I don't think you're a Christian, whatever. That's an individual railing on you. unless it's true. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross. And the man said to him in a railing manner and reproachful manner, he said to him, if thou be the Christ, in other words, he was calling into question the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's not a question, if thou be the Christ, he is the Christ. And there is no one else like him. Because there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And he's the only mediator between God and man. But this man, who was, might say, fixing to die on the cross, he spoke reproachfully to the Lord Jesus. He also, when an individual is railing, it means to speak reproachfully. It means to utter blasphemy. And then it's the use of contemptuous language by those who intentionally come short of the reverence due to God or due to sacred things. I don't know how you are, but whenever I hear somebody say, oh, I'm in contact with a man upstairs, that's railing. Now, that's railing. What are you talking about? That is speaking reproachfully of the deity and the majesty and the holiness of the Lord Jesus Christ. And a lot of people are doing that today that sail under the banner of Christianity. And you and I need to understand that. But now this is a mental suffering that the Lord Jesus went through. You as a believer and myself as a believer, we will suffer mental suffering. You might as well put it down. The world never has, never did, and never will put its stamp of approval upon a work of God. And when the Lord God of heaven has reached down and saved you, if he has, then don't be surprised if people don't care for you. Well, why not, preacher? Because turn to Matthew 10. We'll show you why not. And this will bring it out. And this brings about what is called mental suffering. In Matthew chapter 10, we find, beginning with verse 32, these words. Listen to what it says. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before men, him will I confess also before my Father which is in heaven. But whosoever shall deny me before men, him will I also deny before my Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father, and the daughter against her mother, and the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's foes shall be they of his own household. Now that's true. If a woman is converted and the husband is unconverted, there's going to be a conflict. If the husband is converted and the woman is unconverted, there'll be a conflict. If the husband and wife are both converted and the children are unconverted, put it down, there's going to be a conflict. A man's foes shall be they of his own household. And beloved, when you find out that your loved ones and my loved ones are against the things of God, it brings upon us mental suffering. Well, the Lord Jesus Christ knows what mental suffering is about. But there's another kind of suffering. Take your Bibles now and turn to Matthew chapter 27, and we'll show you in verses 45 and 6 the spiritual suffering that the Lord Jesus Christ underwent for you and me. In Matthew chapter 27, and we find verses 45 and 6 these words. Listen to what it says. And now from the sixth hour there was darkness over all the land unto the ninth hour. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried with a loud voice, saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani, that is to say, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Here's your spiritual suffering. Now listen again. Hold your seat if you will. If you're unsaved here today and you remain in that category, when you die, you'll go to hell. And in hell, this is going to be your cry. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? You're going to know experientially when you get to hell what it means to be forsaken of God. Now, the Lord Jesus Christ had spiritual suffering. The spiritual suffering that he underwent for you and me was this. Number one, he was cursed by the law. He came to fulfill the law. He kept the law in all points. You and I can't keep any of them. He kept the law all points. And yet when he died on the cross, he died under the curse of the law, because cursed is everyone that hangeth on the tree. That's what the law demanded. And that's the reason the Lord Jesus Christ hung on the cross. The second thing about his spiritual suffering was this. He was separated from God. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? God turned his back on the Lord Jesus Christ. He wouldn't look at him, because the Lord Jesus Christ was being made sin for us, and God cannot look upon sin. And that's spiritual suffering. Then we find also, not only this, but he was overwhelmed by death. And that's all part of the spiritual suffering that the Lord Jesus Christ underwent for you and me. Now, why do I tell you this? Because we find very clearly that the Lord Jesus Christ was a praying Redeemer. Now, let's look at his prayers for just a moment. Take your Bibles now, and the prayers that the Lord Jesus Christ manifested are examples for you and I to follow. And a lot of God's people don't pray. Now, I don't know about you, but I hope you have prayer time. If you don't have a prayer time in your life, make room for it. If you drive to work and you're driving alone, you can pray while you're driving. Some of the best prayer meetings I've ever had was when I was driving down the road by myself, just the Lord and me. And you, if you don't have that prayer time, you need to. But here's the prayers of the Lord Jesus, and it'll show you very clearly how he knows all about us. And he also had to undergo the things that we undergo in this life. In Luke chapter 6, if you'll take your Bibles there, and turn to verse 12 if we find these words. And it came to pass in those days that he went out into a mountain to pray and continued all night in prayer to God. Now this was the kind of a man that the Lord Jesus Christ was. He's a God man, but here we see his complete dependence upon God. What did he do when he had something that was facing him that was a great problem? We find, what did he do? He talked to the Lord about it first. What an example for us to follow. I've asked young people, when I said, where are you going to school? Well, I'm not sure. I said, pray about it. What are you going to major in? I'm not sure. I said, pray about it. If you buy a house, pray about it. If you buy an automobile, pray about it. If you're thinking of getting married, be much in prayer about it. If you think of separating and getting a divorce, like so many are thinking about today, pray about it. Ask the Lord for direction. And I say this very kindly, and I make no bones about it. If two people are Christians, I cannot see how they could ever wind up in a divorce court if they're both genuinely converted. I'm old-fashioned enough to say that. And until I'm proven wrong, I'll continue to believe it. Because what God hath joined together, let not man put asunder. And it's still so, isn't it? Now, the Lord Jesus Christ prayed. Now, why did he pray? We find he prayed for direction. Now look, if you will, Luke chapter 6, look at verse 13. He continued all night in prayer to God, and when it was day, he called unto him his disciples, and of them he chose 12, whom also he named apostles. Now there are people today that come along and say, well, I'm an apostle today. They're lying when they say it. There were only, hold your seat now, there were only 13 apostles. One of them was false. His name was Judas Iscariot. But the apostle that took the place of Judas Iscariot was the apostle Paul. There are no apostles today. I remember when I was in Michigan, a man wrote me from Knoxville, Tennessee, and it was the only time I ever heard anything from those people over there when we were on the radio over there. He signed himself Apostle Jones. And the next letter I got, he signed himself Prophet Job. And I wrote him back and I said, you're neither an apostle and you're neither a prophet. Because the apostles and prophets have gone the way of the earth. And today we have the complete word of God. And so we find we have preachers today. We have evangelists today. We have teachers today. But we do not have apostles and prophets. And anybody that claims themselves to be one don't know their word of God. Now, the Lord Jesus prayed for direction. you have a job in you, if you have a decision to make in your life, all right, I would recommend to you, you pray and ask the Lord for direction and don't move until He does. Why do you think I came here? I didn't have to come here as your pastor. I came here because God directed me to come here. And He didn't direct me to come here if I hadn't prayed about it. And He told me to come. And He said to me very clearly, I have set before thee an open door, and it sure didn't look like it. And we find out, I still may ask myself, Lord, you set before me an open door, all right? Now, fill this place with people that need to know the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm still praying that way. And I hope you are. Because there are multitudes around about us that need to sit under this kind of preaching, not only for teaching and edification, but for their eternal salvation. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, He gave us His example. When He needed direction, what did He do? He prayed all night long. You folks that are in school here today, when you go to school, I'm going to give you some advice, and if you follow it, you'll make the honor roll. Now, what advice is that? Number one, you keep up with your daily assignments. You keep up with them. Number two, when you know you're going to have a test and you keep up with your daily assignments, the night before your test, you review and then you go to bed and get a good night's sleep. And then in the morning when you get up, you'll be refreshed and you can go to your exam room. And before you take your exam, I'll tell you what you do. If you have a piece of paper and it's a paper that you write the exam on, it's turned like this. You turn it over for a moment and you just bow your head and say, Lord, I need your wisdom, and you'll make it through. Now, how do you know, preacher? Because I've been there. The night of the exams when I was in college, I didn't sit up all night like some of them did. They would come to my room and they'd say, can we borrow your notes? I said, yeah, on one condition. I want them back in the morning. And they'd sit up all night and they'd study my notes and make up. And in the morning when they got up, most of them were bleary-eyed. And they'd go through into that examination and some of them were almost ready to fall asleep. And I'll guarantee you right now, their grades were not as good as mine. Now, why do I tell you this? Beloved, praying works. And the Lord Jesus Christ has given us example. Not only did He pray all night under the Lord God of heaven for direction, but then He prayed for strength. You and I are creatures who need the strength of God. So turn to Luke chapter 22, if you will, and look with me at verse 39. In the 22nd chapter of the book of Luke, I want you to notice this carefully. The Lord Jesus Christ prayed for strength. In Luke chapter 22, and look with me at verse 39, and we find very clearly the Word of God brings this out for our learning. And listen to what it says, beginning with verse 39. And He came out and went as He was accustomed or wont to the Mount of Olives, and His disciples also followed Him. And when He was at the place, He said unto them, pray ye that ye enter not into temptation. And He was withdrawn from them about a stone's cast, and kneeled down and prayed, saying, Father, if thou be willing, remove this cup from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. And there appeared an angel unto him from heaven, strengthening him. And being in an agony, he prayed more earnestly, and his sweat was, as it were, great drops of blood falling to the ground. And when he rose up from prayer and was come to his disciples, he found them sleeping for sorrow. And he said unto them, why sleep ye? Rise and pray, lest ye enter into temptation. Now, what did the Lord Jesus do? He prayed for strength. He prayed for strength. I told you some time ago, when I was in Michigan, I was arrested and tried for negligent homicide. I was arrested and tried and convicted. And I know what it is to report to the jail and have a number placed on your chest. And then they give you a camera, and the camera takes your picture front ways, then you turn sideways, and they take it this way, and you turn sideways again, and you take it that way. I know what it is. And all through that time, let me tell you point blank, I needed strength. I was not guilty, I knew it, but I was found guilty. And someone might say, well, how can that be? Well, I can tell you later on, but not in this sermon today, but if you want to know about it, I'll talk to you about it later on. But we find very clearly, when the jury got together, they didn't try me as a bus driver, they tried me as a preacher. And this is what they said. They said, we cannot let him go because he's a preacher. We know there's a man that died, and the man died because he hit the bus. I didn't hit him, he hit me. And they said, because a man died, and he's a preacher, we cannot let him go. We've got to convict him. And they did. And for the next month or so, the jury couldn't go to sleep because of the fact they knew they'd made the wrong decision. But it was done. And the Lord intervened, and we find very clearly, I didn't have to go to jail. But at the same time, we find very in these things, it was a traumatic experience, and there were times that I would sit in my office, and I'm going to tell you point blank, I had absolutely no strength. And so I cried unto the Lord. I cried, and I'll tell you, I couldn't cry anymore. Some of you may go through that. I'll say this to you very kindly. You will if the Lord ever sets out saved. Because you're going to come like the lady told me when she called me last week. She called me on the phone. She said, Brother Pete, she said, I cried until I couldn't cry anymore. She said, I wept until I had no more tears. She said, I agonized until I just couldn't. She said, I couldn't do a thing. And I got up and went into my room. She said, I was just at night and it was 2 o'clock in the morning. She said, I just cried and I couldn't cry anymore. And I came into my room and I sat down and read the Word of God. And she said, there's where the Lord saved. Now, why do I tell you this? These are the prayers of the Lord Jesus. He prayed for guidance or direction. Then he prayed for strength. And he was in agony. And the word agony means this. It's like an anchor anchored in the sea and tied to the ship. And the ship is going through a great big storm. And that word agony means that ship is tugging on that anchor until, as it were, that chain would break. And that's agony. That's the agony of soul. And the Lord Jesus Christ went through the agony of soul on your behalf and on mine because he loved us that much. But we find very clearly, he prayed for strength. The third thing about him was this. He prayed for the forgiveness of his enemies. Now someone might say, oh, no, I'll forgive somebody, but I won't forget it. No, if you won't forget it, you won't forgive it. Now in Luke chapter 22, if you will, look again. We find the Word of God brings this out as we see it set forth for our learning. Let me correct myself. It's Luke chapter 23, and we find beginning with verse 32, these words. And there were also two other malefactors led with him to be put to death. And when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right hand and the other on the left. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what to do. And they parted his raiments and cast lots. And here you have the Lord Jesus Christ doing what? He's praying for the forgiveness of his enemies. And you and I need to pray for the forgiveness of our enemies. Oh, now wait a minute, preacher. No, that's right. We pray for the forgiveness of our enemies. Because if we do not forgive, we have not been forgiven. And believers today are guilty of grudges and malice and hatred and everything like that. And it's contrary to what the Lord Jesus tells us. The Lord hung on the cross stark naked. He was hanging there to die. They were reviling him. They had whipped him and scourged him until the blood was coming from all parts of his body. The thorns on his brow brought the blood and everything like that. And as he hung there on the cross, he said, Father, he said, forgive them. They know not what they do. And when an individual attacks you and because of your Christianity or anything like that, put it down, they don't know what to do. Oh, someone might say, yes, they do. No, they don't. Now hold your seat, I'm going to give you truth here. And a lot of people are going to argue with you. Every individual without the Lord Jesus Christ is suffering from insanity. Now it's the other way around in the world.
That is, almost true
Christianity, they would classify them as being insane. Well, I'm going to tell you this. An individual without the Lord Jesus Christ is guilty of insanity. Now, you chew on that. I'm not going to explain it to you this morning. But you can chew on that. And so you recognize very clearly that your loved ones and mine that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, they're insane. They don't know what they're doing. They think they do. They're blinded in their mind. They're blinded in their heart. They're blinded to the gospel. They're blinded to Christ. And we find very clearly they are guilty of insanity. And we need to understand that. And as these things are done to us, and you find out, if you've ever dealt with any insane people, and I have dealt with them, I have found out very clearly, the ones that they really love the most are the ones that they turn against the hardest. That's insanity. And we see very clearly, the Lord Jesus Christ prayed. He prayed for the forgiveness of His enemies. But then He prayed another prayer. There's really two more, and I want to give you these two real quickly. Turn again to Luke chapter 22. And we find beginning at verse 31. This is what we have here. And the Lord said, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have you, that he may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not. And when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. And he said unto him, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. And he said, I tell thee, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before that thou shalt thrice deny that thou knowest me. Now here he did what? He prayed for Peter, who was to be sifted by the devil. Now hold you see, the word converted there means turned around. It's not meaning saved. Peter was already a saved man. And the devil had desired to sift him as wheat. And the Lord said, all right, you can sift Peter. And so Peter was in the throes of temptation because the devil was after him and the devil was in charge of it. And the result was that Peter denied the Lord Jesus Christ three times as God said he would. Now the Lord Jesus prayed for Peter. And are you listening? The Lord Jesus Christ has prayed for you and me also. And we need to recognize these things. If we are going through these particular trials, we need to ask ourselves this question. Lord, are you sifting me to make me a better Christian? If you are, thy will be done. Are you sifting me to bring me out of the carelessness that I may have been in? All right, if you are, the Lord's doing it to make you a better believer. And when I went through the trial of negligent homicide and everything like that, after it was all over with, people had said point blank, as they used to listen to me after I was preaching, and they said, after this thing happened, you became a lot better preacher than what you were before. I said, well, if that's true, then it was worthwhile, wasn't it? You see, the Lord Jesus Christ prays. And He prayed for these things for you and me. But then there's one more thing. Turn to John chapter 17. And I want to leave this with you real quickly. In John chapter 17, and we have it set forth for our learning. Listen to what it says. In John chapter 17, beginning at verse 20. Neither pray I for these alone, but for them also which shall believe on me through their word. Now that's you and me, beloved. This is how the Lord prayed. That they all may be one. As thou, Father, art in me, and I in thee, that they also may be one in us, that the world may believe that thou hast sent me. And the glory which thou gavest me, I have given them, that they may be one even as we are one. I in them, and thou in me, that they may be made perfect in one, and that the world may know that thou hast sent me, and hast loved them as thou hast loved me. Father, I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory which thou hast given me, for thou lovest me before the foundation of the world. Here you have. If you're saved, you have the Holy Spirit indwelling you, as I do. If you're saved, your hopes and desires should be to serve the Lord Jesus Christ, as mine are. If you're saved, you want to be obedient unto God. And you'll find other believers that are in like order like that. I'll guarantee you right now, you have real fellowship together. But then our Lord prayed one more time, and that is it. And you have here the perseverance of the saints, where He said very clearly,
I will that they also whom thou hast given me be with me where I am.
What does that mean? That means a believer, once that individual is converted, can never be lost, or else the prayer of the Lord Jesus Christ can never be answered. But are you listening? It will be answered. He shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. These are the prayers of the Lord Jesus. Now let me close. You're not saved here today, I'm going to tell you point blank. When God gets a hold of you under Holy Spirit conviction, He involves these three things. You'll suffer physically. You'll suffer mentally. You'll suffer spiritually. You'll suffer spiritually first because God will show you that you're nothing but a dirty, guilty, hell-deserving sinner, and you're separated from God. And when He shows you that, I'm going to tell you something else. It will bring upon you a mental stress. Because your conscience will begin to go to work and it'll be like a broken record because all your conscience will say is guilty, 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 guilty. And there'll be no relief until the Lord saves you. You'll be spiritually suffering. You'll be mentally suffering. And I'll guarantee you something else. You'll also be physically suffering. What are you talking about? When you're going through that stress and everything like that, your blood pressure will go high. And when God brings a sinner down the road of conviction, that sinner suffers physical, mental, and spiritual suffering, and it will result in strong crying unto the Lord God of heaven, who is the only one that can heal you. Or, if this never is brought to pass, then put it down. All through eternity in hell, the individual will suffer mentally, they'll suffer physically, they'll suffer spiritually, because an individual that dies and goes to hell will be given a body that is fit for hell. And that body will burn and burn and burn and burn and never be consumed. And that individual will undergo spiritual, mental, and physical suffering all through the countless ages of eternity because there will be no relief for them. Now let me ask you a question. Are you a believer here today? I pray you are. If you're not, you need to be. You need to sue for mercy unto the Lord God of heaven because you're a sinner. And your hope is this, that Christ died for sinners. And He'll show you that He has saved you. He'll show you from His Word by the power of God the Holy Spirit. All right? Then let me ask you another question. Are you a believer? If you are you a praying believer? Or are you like so many believers today, all they have is a sentence prayer. Lord, save my loved ones. Help me. Thank you. Amen. That's a sentence prayer. We need to pray for each other. And as I've told you before, I'll tell you again. When someone in this church suffers, the whole church suffers. When someone in this church rejoices, the whole church rejoices. We are a family. And as a family, we are one. And we need to understand that. And we need to recognize that like never before. Our Lord prayed that we all be one. And everything, and above everything else, we all need to pray. Lord, Thy will be done no matter what. And if we ask anything according to His will, the Scripture tells us we have His confidence that we shall receive it. Now, do you know the Lord? I pray that you do. Shall we stand? I'm going to have you sing just one stanza. I'll apologize today. I ran out of time and didn't realize it. I looked at my watch and I thought I was looking at the second hand, and it was the other one. I'll apologize for the length of my message. But I won't apologize for what I've said. Number 307, Just As I Am. Now this hymn is a hymn written by a girl that the preacher tried to stop her from going to a dance floor and she wouldn't listen to him. In fact, she called him an old fool. And when God began to deal with her, several days later she came to him and she said, Pastor, she said, how can I get to Christ? And he told her point blank. He said, Charlotte, he said, come just as you are. And God gave her that hymn. He saved her and gave her that hymn. And you and I, we have to come to the Lord God of heaven just as we are. That doesn't make any difference whether we're a believer or we're not a believer. We come as a sinner just as we are. suing for God's mercy and forgiveness. As a believer, we come just as we are, suing for God's mercy and forgiveness. And the wonderful thing of it is, He gives it both times, doesn't He? Let's sing, Brother Clint. And the doctor examined her, and he couldn't find anything wrong with her, and he told her point blank. He said, physically, he said, you are in good shape. I don't know why your blood pressure's up. I did. The Lord was dealing with you. And when God brings a sinner down the road of conviction, that sinner suffers physical, mental, and spiritual suffering, and it will result in strong crying unto the Lord God of heaven, who is the only one that can heal you. Or, if this never is brought to pass, then put it down. All through eternity in hell, the individual will suffer mentally, they'll suffer physically, they'll suffer spiritually, because an individual that dies and goes to hell will be given a body that is fit for hell. And that body will burn and burn and burn and burn and never be consumed. And that individual will undergo spiritual, mental, and physical suffering all through the countless ages of eternity, because there will be no relief for them. Now let me ask you a question. Are you a believer here today? I pray you are. If you're not, you need to be. You need to sue for mercy unto the Lord God of heaven, because you're a sinner, and your hope is this, that Christ died for sinners. And He'll show you that He has saved you. He'll show you from His Word by the power of God the Holy Spirit. Alright? Then let me ask you another question. Are you a believer? If you are you a praying believer? Or are you like so many believers today, all they have is a sentence prayer. Lord, save my loved ones. Help me. Thank you. Amen. That's a sentence prayer. We need to pray for each other. And as I've told you before, I'll tell you again. When someone in this church suffers, the whole church suffers. When someone in this church rejoices, the whole church rejoices. We are a family. And as a family, we are one. And we need to understand that, and we need to recognize that like never before. Our Lord prayed that we all be one. And everything, and above everything else, we all need to pray, Lord, Thy will be done. No matter what. And if we ask anything according to His will, the Scripture tells us we have His confidence that we shall receive it. Now, do you know the Lord? I pray that you do. Shall we stand? How do we come? Just as we are. When do we come? At all times. Why do we come? Because we need the assistance of the Lord God of heaven. Make any difference if we're saved or not? If we're saved, we've learned to depend upon Him. If we're not saved, we need to learn. And if we are saved and we're not living right, put it down. God will bring us into trials. And He'll teach us. And as He sifts us, He'll sift us like He did Peter. Peter came out a much stronger believer than ever before. And God will sift you, and He'll bring you through these trials. He does it for the purpose of making you a lot better believer than you've been in the past.